everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I'm still wearing t-shirts into it's like autumn weather that like early autumn weather that just won't go away, and I hope it doesn't.
Well, I agree with you. That's a nice looking white t-shirt.
Yeah,
you're wearing
white t-shirt.
I assume
today
you're not having spaghetti for dinner tonight.
Not tonight. It is Buckmaster on Thursday, December the 5th, 2024. We'll be beginning our 15th year in a couple of weeks as we launch the 15th year into the 15th year in January, coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Company. We've got five radio stations now under one roof. This one is 1030. KVOI, The Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening. Listen to the program live anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, the place for all of our podcasts going back to the first week of January 2011. The live line for our telephone interviews, and we will be doing one of those later in the program, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's get things rolling with Steve Christie, the lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Christie just reelected to a third four-year term on the board. Supervisor, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again, Bill.
And folks, Google Steve Christie, and they come up with an automobile dealership that you sold back in 2007, nearly 20 years ago, but almost every day someone comes up to you, I bet, who says, you know, how is the car business doing? I bought a car from you, and I had great service.
Well, that's exactly what happens, and people don't realize that it's been since 2007. And on top of that, they don't realize I've been a Pima County supervisor since 2016. So it is kind of interesting, and they don't realize that when I say that I'm now a county supervisor, very often they go, well, what county? So...
Or what are you supervising now? Did you move to another automobile dealership and you're supervising?
But I guess all those years of spending advertising money paid off because they certainly have a resonance that remains.
Yeah, if you Google your name, that's actually what comes up first before the Pima County supervisors. All right, you did... Election night, you were down by almost 5,000 votes, but then the votes, you know, it took, seems like, forever for the votes to be counted, but things quickly turned around, and I think you won by almost 10,000, right?
Not quite, roughly 6,000,
but six.
If you take the swing from the initial down 5,000 the first night, and then as they accumulated in our favor, and that swing, roughly could be looked at as an 11,000 swing.
Yeah.
So, and it did happen consecutively. So we anticipated that because historically Democrats vote early, and that's what happened. And then as the tabulations went on course, the Republicans, who tend to vote later and on the day of, that started to accumulate, and we had the swing. And pretty much as we anticipated, but I got a lot of folks saying, oh, you're down all these votes. And I said, just hang on. And sure enough, we were very honored to be able to come on top and win another term.
Not only do you get asked, how is the automobile dealership, but for those who do know that you are a Pima County supervisor, I bet you're being asked, why in the world does it take a week to count the votes in Pima County?
There's really no excuse for it, and I think it's easily remedied. And one of the major issues of how that could be accomplished is quite simple, and that's to stop the last minute deadline on day of to drop off ballots and to vote on those days. They could be a cutoff several days before that, because those are the votes that are counted first. They could be
typically the Friday before the election.
Yeah, that seems to be the working model in the most successful states, such as Florida. And there's really no reason why we can't do it a year. And I keep hearing suppression of votes, and folks won't have the opportunity to vote. And I just don't understand how they could come up with that kind of a justification when it works so well in many other states, particularly Florida.
And that will be introduced. J.D. Mesnard, state senator, who will be my Friday Focus interview a week from tomorrow, will be introducing legislation that would have a cutoff date. But the governor has, last year that was tried, or this year, we're not into 2025 yet, but the 2024 session, and the governor vetoed it.
I think there will be a very concerted focus on this very issue in the legislature, and I'm looking forward to seeing the discussion and the proposals and hopefully the resolution. And I'm also hoping and probably it's whistling by the graveyard that Governor Hobbs might see the sense of all this and listen to the constituents and the voters of the state of Arizona who are demanding an earlier tabulation and result, that it would be very simple to provide. And I think she would best be serving the state of Arizona and the voters if she went along with these ideas and looked at resolutions to it.
Yeah, and there could also be an effort to put that before voters, kind of going around the governor's veto and asking voters, would you like to see a cutoff?
Yeah, we've seen that with the propositions in the last cycle,
right.
So I'm sure that they have that in their quiver as well.
Okay, Sheriff, we'll find out officially, I think, tomorrow, right?
Correct.
The recount in the sheriff's race. Heather Lappin was down by about just under 500 votes. But it has been my experience, and as they say, I didn't get off the bus yesterday.
You didn't fall out of the coconut tree?
No, I didn't. So in nearly, almost 40 years in Arizona media, I can't recall recount ever changing much. We even had a congressional race that I think changed by maybe two or three votes.
Historically and significantly, there is a trend that a recount doesn't seem to indicate too many changes, but this is a state, or is it a federal regulation, that if it's less than 0.5%,
I think it's a state
that has to go to an automatic recount. And in this instance, with it being so close, I think it's a good thing.
All right. Up at Mount Lemmon, which Mount Lemmon, of course, is in your district, there's some news about people often complain, I love to go up to Mount Lemmon and get some ice cream or listen to music or go to the new hotel up there, but the parking has been an issue.
It's been a real issue, and it's really affected the desire for people to even go up there and to mm-hmm. shop and to look around and to enjoy the ambiance of being in a mountaintop community, because it's so difficult to find parking and to ambulate around the community. So Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, after many years of our office really working and shepherding this whole project and promoting it and championing it, we passed unanimously, the board did, the acceptance of what is known as a FLAP grant, which stands for the Federal Land Access Program, and it's roughly a $9 million grant. Initially, it was five.
Because Mount Lemmon is surrounded by federal land.
Mostly, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And they have partners that were involved in this, a kind of a consortium, the Federal Highway Administration, the Central Federal Lands Highway Division, the United States Forest Service, and especially Pima County. And Pima County's Department of Transportation has just done a magnificent job working this and threading the needle to get all these agencies together and to finally come to this grant, a $9 million grant that's going to pave about a half a mile of Sabino Canyon Park Road in Summer Haven. That's the main one that goes down mm-hmm. south, and it's going to provide a 75-car parking lot plus 21 more on the street. Of parking spaces. There's going to be a 5-foot-wide shared-use path, a sidewalk, which is so necessary, because right now, if you go up there and you walk in certain areas, you could fall into the creek, and cars have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
plus public restrooms.
Lots of good news.
It's a fabulous enhancement, a much needed one, and one that our office is particularly proud of, that we've had a real strong hand in. And a lot of kudos and thanks to the Pima County Department of Transportation. And I know that the businesses and the inhabitants of Summer Haven are just thrilled. Finally, it may not be the end-all, cure-all, but it certainly is a great enhancement that's much needed.
And when do you think those new parking places will be available?
In the process right now, the government is kind of leading the construction, and they're still looking for a contractor or trying to get a contractual agreement.
Maybe by next summer.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe.
All right. Pima County Supervisor, Republican, the lone Republican on the five-member board, Steve Christie, is with us for his monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show. Let's do a big shout-out to Mona's Danish Bakery. I'm sure, Steve Christie, you would like Steve and the team to open a second location down in your district, perhaps.
Probably three or four.
Yes.
Maybe up in Summer Haven.
Yeah.
And down in,
be great.
In the Green Valley area. I know it would be a great
addition
for that community.
Well, right now they have the one location, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, where they've been very busy, of course, during the holidays. They had a great Thanksgiving. So many people put in their pie orders and dinner rolls, and everybody had a great Thanksgiving that put in those orders, and they enjoyed all of the very tasty treats from Mona's. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com, and it is not too early to put in your order for your Christmas dessert, or maybe have a nice Christmas Eve pie on the table from Mona's Danish Bakery. More with Steve Christie. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Buckmaster Show, a Thursday edition, and I want to tell everybody about Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. I don't really need to tell everybody about them that they have never heard of Green Things, because so many of our listeners go there and they know what a great place it is, especially at the holidays. Green Things and their sister business, Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village has beautiful imported items, especially from Mexico, and some great holiday items that could really brighten up your home for the holidays. GreenThingsAZ.com and it's ZocaloVillage.com. They're open daily, family owned and operated since 1970. Jan and Jack, my friends who own it, very much care for it, and hands-on owners on that 13-acre site. Okay, we continue now with our monthly visit. Usually we've got Steve Christie, the lone Republican on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, with us the first Thursday of the month, and that's where we're at right now, the first Thursday. Yesterday, you were the lone dissenting vote. The vote was 4-1 on shuffling, I think it was about $1.3 million in unspent COVID relief funds. So what happens to this money?
Well, Pima County has received over $200 million of COVID relief money and ARPA money, which is the Recovery Act. And now it's dwindling down to a precious few. And the deadline for it to be spent is creeping up quickly. And the fear of my colleagues and many folks in the Pima County administration is that this money will not meet a deadline, which is in December of 2026 to be spent. If it's not met, if that deadline is not met by the spending of the money, it gets sent back. So there was a kind of a scrambling effort to present a number of areas where this $1 million, $1.2 million, I think, as you referenced to it, could be spent, and it was approved by the board's majority. I did vote against it. I feel if it's not going to be spent in time or it doesn't need to be spent, then do what I think is the best thing to do, and that's send it back to the federal government. It's our money. Put it back there, and I think what is happening, and I don't know how serious my colleagues are taking this, but I think there's going to be a sea change with the Trump administration coming in on these kinds of grants and these kinds of funneling of monies for these kinds of purposes. And there very well may be some clawback where the incoming administration may say, wait a minute, we've decided through legislation, which I think is a real possibility, that they could involve legislation in this, that all of these monies are going to be stopped and then demanded to be returned to the federal government. So my problem with this whole thing is that these programs that my colleagues want to spend the money for have become institutionalized. And if that money runs out, they've got employees that they've hired, they've got infrastructure that they put in place, they have communications that are made part of the whole system. They've institutionalized these programs and these projects, and they're going to find their way into the general fund and be part of the county budget. I've always been a critic of accepting money, particularly for the asylum seeking business and the non-citizens care and accommodation. And this is one more example of that kind of money coming in that really, if they're having a hard time spending it, don't spend it, send it back.
You did vote with the majority. It was a unanimous vote about the health care provider over at the Pima County Jail. And the jail's had all sorts of problems and issues, as many of our listeners probably know. But did Dr. Garcia speak and address, Francisco Garcia, the head of the health department, addressed you and your colleagues about this issue? Things apparently have turned around a little bit when it comes to jail and health care providing.
I don't specifically recall that discussion. I know it's been a very difficult issue for the sheriff and for the Pima County jail system, but anything that can create a better environment health-wise for the inmates and everybody on both sides of the bar, I'm in favor of. And apparently this healthcare issue was something that was being looked at very positively by the corrections department. And in that vein, I'd be glad to support it.
We had a listener who's been following the whole public library situation, and he just sent me an article that was in, I think, the Arizona Luminaria about a Wells Fargo building being eyed as a temporary downtown location. Do you know anything about that?
I have had nothing substantive come before me on that issue. There's a whole host of rumors going about the libraries and
What's going to happen to the downtown library.
The Joel Valdez main library, and certainly I think it's very important that an analysis be continued to look at the needs and the situations with those libraries. Unfortunately, they become more of a social service center and a safe place for folks with addiction problems or mental problems or homeless issues. They congregate in certain libraries, and they make it very difficult and unpleasant for the staff as well as for the customers and the constituents who want to use it. Matter of fact, some of the cleaning services, I've been told, the workers that take care of the cleaning and the sanitation of certain libraries, have refused to go into restrooms for obvious reasons that what goes on in there. And second of all, they've asked for a hazardous pay because it is a dangerous situation. And that all has to be taken into account as if any reformation of the libraries or any changes that are made throughout the system of our libraries in Pima County, we've got to look at the mission. Is this going to be a social service wraparound location for the folks that are having issues with all of these terrible things, or is it going to continue to be a place where people can have access to information? So those types of things have to be looked at, and I have heard nothing substantive about the building downtown being a temporary headquarters at this point.
All right. One other item before we wrap it up with Steve Christie. What are you hearing about the RTA Next program?
Well, of course, there's always the continuing drama of whether or not the city of Tucson is going to remain in it, and also the issues of why they are considering pulling out of the RTA. One of your guests some weeks ago said that he would not vote for the continuation of the RTA in the city of Tucson as long as the current RTA director was in office. And I'm saying to myself, really, are you going to fall on this sword because you don't like the director after 20-some years of one of the most successful programs that we've seen in our region about infrastructure and road repair and transportation? You're going to forego all of that and fall on a sword against remaining in the RTA simply because you don't like the director? That doesn't make sense. So I'm hoping things will coalesce where all of the jurisdictions will stick it out and stick together. Certainly I think there's a long time and a long distance between here and when we get it to the vote. So I think the issues really are that the jurisdictional members really know the issues about RTA management. And of course we have the other factor now is we've lost our good friend Mayor Ed Honey.
Yeah, and I was just going to bring that up. The news is that Ed Honey will be remembered. The Marana Council is going to name the government complex there, the Ed Honey administrative complex in Marana.
I believe they just approved that
they
the other
did.
Day.
They just approved it.
Most fitting, and I had a great working relationship with Mayor Ed for many years on
Longest-serving elected official in Pima County.
And I'm going to miss his leadership and his wisdom, and I think the RTA is going to be going through some issues without him. So we'll see how that progresses.
Okay, and I think that's going to wrap it up.
Wait, there is one other thing. I don't know if I told
what
you
is that. That,
that I love being supervisor.
We have heard that one before, haven't we? Well, one thing we have heard before, that California has earthquakes, of course, and we're just getting news. Humboldt County, which is Northern California, rocked on the San Andreas Fault by a 7.0 on the Richter scale. That is news that is just breaking. And for folks that don't know, Humboldt County is what's called kind of the north coast of California, and hopefully we'll get some more details. There might even be some coming up on CBS here as we take the break. But anyway, Steve Christie, want to wish you and your wonderful family a lovely holiday season.
And a great holiday season to you and to your listeners. And thank you for having me again.
Thank you very much. Steve Christie with us, Pima County Supervisor. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our break right here. Maybe there'll be some more news about this big earthquake in California.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We send a lot of our listeners, and they all have a good time when we send them over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. And there's a ton of outdoor activities over there in Silver City, and the weather's been really good. It's been mild here in southern Arizona, and pretty mild over there. Of course, it's going to be a little cooler because of the elevation of Silver City being about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So upper 50s this afternoon, that's not bad. Still great weather to get out and do some hiking. Southwestnewmexico.org is the website. Still getting a lot of news out of San Francisco. Wow, 7.0 earthquake rocking the north coast. And that tsunami warning now is extending from Brookings in southern Oregon all the way down to the San Francisco Bay Area, which is kind of unusual. I anchored the news up there for about 8 years, and I can only remember a couple of occasions where we actually had a tsunami warning. All right, let's go out to on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, to his observatory in Vail, Arizona, he being Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, head of the, and he's the founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. Of course, Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, having discovered 23 comets, including his famous co-discovery of the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David, how are you, sir?
Well, hello, Bill, and I'm sorry to hear about the earthquake, and certainly we'll be paying attention to it today and seeing what happens. But, yeah, I'm doing fine. Speaking of Jupiter in the introduction, last night I was at a star party with some children, and they asked what my favorite planet was. And I said, it is Jupiter, not for the obvious reason. It's Jupiter because it's the first thing I ever looked at for a telescope. And Jupiter, of course, had a major impact in my own life later on. And it remains my favorite planet to this day, Bill.
Yeah, I can understand how life came really full circle for you, right?
Yes. Yeah, it did.
All right. Gemini meteor shower. Have we had it
yet?
Coming up?
Yes, coming up this month in December, in about a week and a half. It is the most strongest meteor shower of the year. And I hope I'll be out of looking at it and seeing a meteor or two, maybe even photographing a meteor or two. And I'm looking forward to that very much. If it's really performing the way it usually does, it could give us 50 or 60 meteors per hour.
Wow.
So it really should be pretty interesting.
That would be spectacular. And also, David, the Moon and Venus, the conjuncture last night was pretty darn spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that something?
Wow.
I was able to see it.
Yeah.
It's the Moon and Venus sort of having a beer together. And I kind of enjoyed that.
Kind of hanging out
yeah.
In a very... very celestial way, right? Very nice.
Yes.
David, we hear a lot about the Christmas star. What do you make of all that?
Well, this is because this year, this time of year, it's Christmas, and we think of fanciful things, and the star is one of them. And in the Gospel, according to Matthew, they actually talk about the star, and the star sort of follows, and the wise men who were really astrologers came, and because they wanted to worship the little baby who had been born. And I think it's a beautiful story, and we've actually, both astrologers and scientists have wondered what the star actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been a comet? Probably not. Halley's Comet did make an appearance in 12 BC, but that was 12 years earlier. And there were other comets around as well, but probably not a comet. It could have been a supernova, but the most likely explanation is that it was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn.
Hmm.
And we've seen conjunctions where Jupiter and Saturn get so close that you can't even tell them apart. In fact, I saw them together in one field of my telescope once. And not on December 25th of 2000, but in June, I think it was June 17th of 2 BCE, Jupiter and Saturn were so close together that you actually, without a telescope, and they had no telescopes then, you could not separate them. They looked like one star. And so that's what most of us think. That's what I think that the Christmas star was. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Of course, it could have also been just what the scriptures say it was. But that's actually as to the mystery and the beauty of that story.
All right, it's time for the Dr. David Levy Poem of the Month.
Yeah, since we're kind of into religious poetry this month, I have a poem that I really love. It's written by Yesh Kochavim, and our synagogue actually gave me the idea for it, and I'd like to quote that to you today. There are stars up above, so far away, we only see their light long, long after the star itself is gone. And so it is that people we have loved, our wives, our husbands, people we have loved and lost, their memories keep shining ever brightly, though their time with us is done. But the stars that light up the darkest night, these are the lights that guide us as we live our days. These are the ways we remember.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very appropriate for this time of year, really any time of year. Dr. David Levy, always a pleasure. I want to wish you a delightful holiday season. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much, and see you next month.
All right. Dr. David Levy on The Buckmaster Show. Up next, the counselor is in the house. Attorney Don Luce will be our guest on The Buckmaster Show after we take a break. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of in-studio, attorney Don Luce joining me of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm great, thanks.
Well, we have, of course, Arizona passing Proposition 139. Arizona now has a right to abortion enshrined in the state constitution. But, Don Luce, it is not the end of the story.
No. In fact, it could be the beginning of a new chapter, let's say.
Yeah, let's try to dive into this. Where are we with all of this?
All right. So, as I think everyone knows, Prop 139 passed handily. It was by more than 61% of the voters voted yes on it. 38% roughly opposed it. But if you look at the numbers, there was no doubt that a vast majority of Arizonans who voted favored the proposition. So what did it do? As you pointed out, it amended the Arizona Constitution. So your listeners, I'm sure, understand that there are constitutional amendments, there are statutes, there are court decisions. All of these things constitute law. The Constitution is at the top of the pyramid. So anything that is below the Constitution, whether it's an ordinance, whether it's a statute, whether it's an executive order, is below the Constitution. Our Constitution now, as you said, enshrines the right to abortion, which means that the state may not interfere with the patient's right to an abortion prior to fetal viability. This is different than what it used to be prior to November, which, of course, was just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion was permitted up to 15 weeks. And prior to that, abortion was permitted through fetal viability under Roe versus Wade. But there was this law on the books that never went away. And that was the 1864 law that basically prohibited abortion. Right?
Under any circumstances, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
That statute, until just recently, was never repealed. And so what happened in 2022 when Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization came down from the U.S. Supreme Court was Roe versus Wade was overturned, which had been in existence nearly 50 years. And that then opened the door for the 1864 law to become revived.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature in 2022 also enacted a statute permitting abortion through 15 weeks. So now we have Roe versus Wade overturned, and we have two statutes on the books that have seemingly different outcomes legally. The 1864 statute says abortion is prohibited in almost every circumstance. The 2022 statute says abortion is permitted through 15 weeks. The Arizona Supreme Court took up the issue, and in 2024, earlier this year, said the 1864 law was never repealed. But in the meantime, the legislature repealed 1864, which left the 15-week statute as the only law in Arizona concerning abortion. In early November, the voters voted on a constitutional amendment, being Prop 139, which changed the law yet again And under Prop 139, as I mentioned, the Constitution now gives Arizona residents the constitutional right, the state constitutional right to abortion through fetal viability. So that's where we're at. Now, it doesn't answer a lot of questions. The statute that permits the abortion through 15 weeks has various measures in it that are now being challenged because that law has not been repealed. So we have a constitutional amendment that overlaps with the 2022 statute. Mm. The Attorney General says, well, obviously, Prop 139 controls. It's a constitutional amendment. But there are others who say that we can harmonize the two, and 15 weeks is actually a compelling state interest, and therefore it's an exception to Prop 139. And so, contrary to what Prop 139 says, fetal viability, it actually is 15 weeks. I don't think that's a very strong position legally. And in fact, the Attorney General is not going to support that. The Attorney General has basically stipulated that Prop 139 supersedes the 15-week statute. But that is what is in the court system currently, and that issue has not yet been judicially decided.
It's interesting that a territorial law, and actually a listener just sent me a message about this, and I think it's worth bringing up. The territorial law, you would think, after Arizona became a state on Valentine's Day in 1912, I believe, 1912, our statehood day, you would think that Constitution would then supersede any kind of territorial laws.
Well, there was nothing in the Constitution until Prop 139 dealing with the issue.
Yes.
So not until essentially a week or so ago did we have a constitution that addressed the issue. We now do. Governor Hobbs certified the election result, and the Constitution has been formally amended. But as I mentioned, there is a lawsuit that was just filed by two doctors in Planned Parenthood of Arizona asking the court to strike down the 2022 statute, which permits abortion through 15 weeks.
Yeah, this was filed Tuesday in Phoenix.
Right.
Yeah.
So that case is not yet decided. That outcome is not yet determined. But as I mentioned, the Attorney General is not defending the state in that action. So what I think might happen is that the legislature might ask to intervene in the case and represent essentially the state's position that the law is valid, because the legislature under Arizona law is allowed to intervene if there's a challenge to the legality of a state statute. And as I mentioned, this state statute was enacted a couple of years ago and is still on the books. So you have a proposition that amends the Constitution in a way that is seemingly inconsistent with the statute that is still in effect.
And the Attorney General, Chris Mays, has acknowledged, Don Luce, that some doctors may not be willing to perform the procedure just yet, what with the risks of criminal and civil violations under the old law, but would rather wait for the court to issue a ruling.
That's right. So if you think about it from a doctor's perspective, there are various potential consequences, both civilly, criminally, and administratively. So as we all know, a physician is licensed by the state to practice medicine. If a physician violates the law, then the Board of Medical Examiners may take action against the physician's license. So not only might it be a criminal violation, But the physician might put at risk his or her license to practice. And of course, that's their livelihood. So some physicians have come out on record and said, until this issue is finally resolved, we're not going to perform the procedure after 15 weeks, which the attorney general has said, well, yeah, but I'm not going to prosecute under that statute, because I think Prop 139 supersedes the statute that you're, refusing to perform the procedure under. So there are other statutes, though, that are still on the books that, mm-hmm. that have not yet been adjudicated.
That pertain to abortion.
Exactly.
Yes.
So one is informed consent.
Right.
Under this statute, the doctor is required to provide information about the procedure and the immediate and long-term medical risk and various other things to the woman seeking the procedure. And then the patient is required to wait 24 hours. Okay. The Prop 139 doesn't say anything about this. So does that mean that under Prop 139, this informed consent provision is still viable? I don't know. That hasn't yet been decided. But in order for it to be viable, it would have to be found to be a compelling state interest, because that's the only exception, essentially, to the unfettered right to abortion through fetal viability is a compelling state interest, which is defined in 139 as limited to improving or maintaining the health of the individual seeking abortion care that does not infringe on that individual's autonomous decision-making. That's the definition that 139 provides. So the question is, does informed consent fall within that exception? Unknown. There's another statute that requires the performance of an ultrasound and record sounds of the heartbeat, and then offer the woman a chance to see or hear them. Well, is that a compelling state interest? Undecided.
How about minors?
Exactly. So currently, a minor cannot get an abortion without either parental consent or permission of a judge. Yet 139 doesn't contain that restriction.
Mm.
So is that a compelling state interest? Don't know. Currently, it's illegal for a doctor to perform an abortion knowing that the reason it is being sought is the race or sex of the fetus. Okay. 139 doesn't talk about that. And likewise, a doctor cannot perform an abortion if the doctor knows the patient wants the procedure because the fetus has a genetic abnormality.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another open question. So all of these statutes that are still on the books after the passage of 139 have to be, I believe, looked at judicially, and a court needs to decide if they constitute a compelling state interest, which would be an exception to 139, or not.
That's a long list.
Kind of.
Yeah.
As I said, this is a new chapter.
It sure is. Don Luce, always a pleasure. Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don has two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. And let me extend my holiday wishes to you and your lovely family. And thank you, Don, so much for your support of our program.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. On behalf of Don Luce and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.